You guys have heard me teach before that happiness is the primary desire of every human heart. To feel happy is the reason we do almost everything we do. And God, in fact, made us that way. To be happy is the reason God gives us to obey Him, to worship Him, to serve Him, and to glorify Him. God wants His people to be happy because it glorifies Him. Unfortunately, most people believe their happiness depends on their circumstances. If their situation is good, they can be happy. If they are experiencing difficulties, then they cannot be happy. Fortunately, that is a lie. As I have also taught before, our feeling is based on what we are believing. If we believe the right and true things, we will experience the Spirit's joy no matter what is happening to us. Hope makes us happy. And this is why the biblical concept of hope is so important. Hope in our future gives us the power to be happy now, no matter what is happening in our life. Paul made this connection between our hope and our happiness when he wrote, rejoice, the word there, the Greek word meaning to be in a state of happiness. Be happy in our confident hope. Our hope makes us happy. Elsewhere, Paul puts believing, hope, and joy in one verse when he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So where does this hope that will make us happy come from? Well, Paul writes elsewhere, the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. That's what gives us hope. The book of Hebrews gives us some examples of this. First, it reminds us that living by faith is based on hope. Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith shows the reality of what we're hoping for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see, but we're hoping in. So why do God's people live with such strong faith, even in the face of great difficulties? Because they have a strong hope in the future. Hebrews goes on to give us examples again, starting in verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on this earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. And again, we'll talk about that country we're looking forward to. They were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them that we will be living in. The reason these people had so much faith is that they had so much hope in the city and country that God was going to build for them in the future. And God wants that hope to give us happiness. He tells His people, look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth. Be glad now. Rejoice, again, be happy forever in my creation. So a key to our happiness on this earth is our hope in the new earth. A key to our happiness on this earth is our hope about the new earth. So how do we gain and strengthen that hope? Paul says it this way in Colossians, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. I think that's one of the most challenging commands in all of Scripture, and I want to help you do this today. Paul kind of puts all of this together when he tells us how he maintained his joy even when experiencing great troubles. He shares the secret in this passage for how to be happy even when we're otherwise hurting. He says, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Because our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Why does he believe that? Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. You see, he is focused on the realities of heaven, not the things of earth, as he put it back in Colossians. He goes on to say, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Do you see the secret of happiness on this earth, no matter what is happening to us? Do you see what we must do to grow and maintain our powerful hope on this earth? Do you see how we can experience the joy of life on the new earth, even though we're still living on this one? Paul says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Fix your gaze on things that cannot be seen. Well, how do we do that? How do we think about the things of heaven? How can the realities of heaven become more real to us now? We must understand and be convinced of what Scripture says about our eternity. If we have a deep and clear understanding and conviction of what God is promising us, our hope and happiness in these things will be strong. And this is precisely why most Christians do not have a strong hope in eternity. This is why their focus is so much on this earth and rarely think about the new earth. The reason is that they don't understand the new earth very well. Their picture of it is not very clear, and therefore their hope in it is not very strong. An obscure and vague hope will always be a weak hope. A clear, vivid, bright, and beautiful hope will be a strong hope. And this is why God describes a new eternal earth in Scripture, to give us a clear, vivid, bright, and beautiful hope so we can persevere and be happy on this earth. So that is the purpose of my message, to be reminded of these wonderful things God promises about our future. My primary text this morning will be Revelation chapter 21, and there we read, starting in verse 1. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.'" And my primary point this morning is this: your life on the new eternal earth will be all of the best things in this life perfected forever, with none of the bad. There's another way to say that. When this old earth is replaced with the new earth, everything gets an amazing upgrade. Again, all of the best things in this life will be perfected forever with none of the bad. All of the things that have been affected by sin will be fixed and improved to perfection, including our bodies, our relationships, and life on a new earth. More specifically, what God says in our primary text today could be summarized to say that life on the new eternal earth will be forever, perfect, and new. Those three words, I want to talk briefly about those. Life on the new earth will first of all be perfect and forever. Our text says God's home will now be among his people. He will be living with them. Verse 3. We know that wherever God lives will be a perfect place with absolutely no defects in anything or anyone, which is why Jesus called it the paradise of God. God's home will be our home. That's one reason it will be a perfect home. One of the reasons for that is that the new eternal earth will be sinless. The Bible says elsewhere, we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. The Lord's Prayer that we sang about today will be granted. That first sentence, because God's will be done on the new eternal earth as it is now in heaven. There will be no Satan or demons controlling the world. People will not have the desire or even the ability to sin. On the new eternal earth, everyone and everything will be absolutely holy and will perfectly and always obey all of God's commands. Because of the absence of all sin or defects, God promises in our text, there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Verse 4. Sin is the cause of all the death, sorrow, crying, and pain on this earth. And all these things cease forever because sin ceases forever. Nothing bad or hard or painful or sad will ever happen on the new eternal earth. That is a perfect life. There will be no more death, so there will always just be life. There will be no more sorrow, so there will always just be joy. There will be no more crying, so there will always just be laughing. There will be no more pain or loneliness or fighting or disappointment or embarrassment or danger or weakness or sickness or trouble or temptation or sin. So there will always just be pleasure. Your life will always and only be perfect and in eternal happiness. Not only will our life be perfect, it will never end. This is very different from life on earth, isn't it? We experience glimpses of peace and joy and pleasure here, but then they are always interrupted with strife or grief or pain or disappointment. Nothing good lasts very long on this earth, but on the new earth, every day will be perfect forever. Look at this promise from God in Isaiah about what is coming. My people will be happy forever because of the new things I will make. Happy forever is about the best way to describe our life on the new eternal earth. David told us what kind of life he was looking forward to when he proclaimed to God, "You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Eternal pleasures, again, is another very biblical and accurate way to describe our life on the new eternal earth. There will never be any tests of faith on that new eternal earth. Nothing we ever do will feel overwhelming, difficult, boring, or useless. Are you beginning to grasp what God has promised you, Christian? No matter what happens to you on this earth, this is what God is going to give you. This is the unique and powerful hope that we Christians have, no matter how hard life can be on this earth. Our text also emphasizes that life on the new eternal earth will be new. It starts by telling us there will be a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, verse 1. Contrary to what many conservationists and climate activists believe, this earth was created to be disposable. God is going to destroy it and throw it away and replace this earth with a new and eternal one. Not only is God making a new earth, but God said, "I am making everything new," verse 5. This would include the entire universe, the cosmos. This is why we are told there will be a new heavens, which in Scripture includes all the stars and galaxies. God is going to make an entirely new universe. But God's promise to make everything new does not mean nothing will be familiar. One of the most important and often ignored attributes of the new earth is how much it will be like life on this earth. I believe this is a very important point. Many Christians view their eternal life as floating in the clouds and playing harps all day or something. They think of life on the new eternal earth as something that will be totally different from this earth, so they can't really imagine it and grasp it. And that misconception makes it difficult for Christians to understand and appreciate what their eternal life will be like. This is why I refrain from referring to our future home as merely heaven. That implies we'll be living in space or in clouds. The Bible says that God and heaven will exist on the new eternal earth. Therefore, I refer to our new eternal home in this way. You know, when I've taught this at pastors' conferences in India and Nepal, they tell me they have never heard this before, and they're just excited about sharing it with their churches because it makes our life in eternity so much easier to grasp and appreciate. In fact, this message I'm giving today is probably one of the most popular ones I give at pastors' conferences overseas. Years later, pastors have come up to me and said, "I still remember that message. It changed my life and it changed my church." Friends, I submit to you that when we live on the new earth, there will be land, trees, people, friends, animals, work, cities, houses, gardens, food, and parties. We will not float in space but walk on dirt, but it will be amazing dirt. We will not be merely spirits but live in physical bodies, but they will be new and amazing bodies. We will not lose our Christian spouses, children, and friends, but our relationships with them will be new and perfect. We will not lose our most favorite things on earth, like having fun, loving friends, creating things, and serving God. All those things will be there. So again, my primary point, your life on the new eternal earth will be all of the best things in this life, but perfected forever with none of the bad. Now, this is a nice, pithy saying, but it brings up questions we want answers to. What will the new earth really be like? What will our life be like? What are some of the things that will make us happy forever as God promised in Isaiah, or give us eternal pleasures as David described? The scriptures have some answers to these questions, and they may help us make our life on the new eternal earth feel even more real to us, which is the point of my message. So let's look at some of these. First, you will have a new and perfect friendship with God forever. By far the greatest thing about your life on the new eternal earth will be personally and physically living in the presence of God the Son and God the Father. In our primary text, we read in verse 3, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. As I said, God in heaven come down to be on the new eternal earth. Listen to these other biblical promises describing the same thing. 2 Corinthians, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. John 14, when everything is ready, Jesus said, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Revelation 22, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face, the face of Almighty God. Living with God is a wonderful way that, as my primary point states, your life in the new eternal earth will be all of the best things in this life perfected forever with none of the bad. How does this relate to our relationship with God now? Well, even now, having a relationship with God is one of the best things in this life, isn't it? But it is often hard. We have never seen God the Father, and we often misunderstand him. And the painful things in our life tempt us to doubt his love for us. But on the new earth, he will personally walk among us, and we will see his face. And we will never misunderstand him again, nor doubt his love for us, because we will be directly and constantly experiencing his love for us in a personal way. It is natural to wish that God would give us a lot more details about what our life on the new earth will be like. Why is there relatively little information in Scripture about this? Because he has told us he will be there. What else do we need to know? You will be with the most wonderful person imaginable forever, which is why he describes the experience like this elsewhere. Jesus said, come and share your master's happiness. You will share eternal happiness with him. You will have a new and perfect relationship with God forever, and this is the most important way that your life on the new eternal earth will be all of the best things in this life perfected forever with none of the bad. Your friendship with God is going to get an amazing upgrade that will make it perfect forever. Next, you will live in a new and perfect creation forever. Again, in our primary text, John saw the future and said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had passed away, or disappeared. How does this relate to my primary point that your life on the new eternal earth will be the best of all the best things in this life, perfected forever without any of the bad? Well, there are a lot of amazing and beautiful things to enjoy on this earth. Every year for the past several years, several men from our church have spent a week in the Boundary Waters fishing and hiking and listening to the loons and enjoying God's creation. It's a beautiful place. Every time I travel to Nepal, I fly alongside the Himalayan mountains, including Mount Everest, the tallest peak in the world. It's an amazing sight. God's first creation is very good, just as he said in the first chapter of Genesis. But because of sin, Scripture says, against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Because of sin, everything in this creation is decaying. As part of the curse, God said the ground would grow weeds and thorns and only produce food with heavy labor. All of these effects of sin will be removed on the new eternal earth. In general, the scriptures describe the new earth as a worldwide Garden of Eden. Accordingly, we read, the desert will blossom like Eden, her barren wilderness like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found there. The whole world is going to be the garden of the Lord. The land of Eden. Let me just read several biblical texts about life on the new eternal earth. One repeated theme is that there will be a lot of agriculture to produce food for us to eat. Can you believe that? That's right. We'll be eating in our new perfect bodies. Listen to these verses, Isaiah 35. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. I will give them fountains of water in the valleys. I will fill the desert with pools of water. Rivers fed by springs will flow across the parched ground. I will plant trees in the barren desert. Isaiah 32, the Lord will greatly bless his people. Wherever they plant seed, bountiful crops will spring up. Their cattle and donkeys will graze freely. Amos chapter 9, the time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Ezekiel 34, They'll be able to camp safely in the wildest places and sleep in the woods without fear. The orchards and fields of my people will yield bumper crops. We're talking about the new eternal earth. The new earth will be like a lush, fertile, and beautiful Garden of Eden with rivers, pools of water, and an abundance of trees, plants, beautiful flowers, and produce for us to eat. And if you think the trees and flowers and food on this old, sin-broken earth are good, wait till you see the flowers and trees and food God is going to make for us on the new eternal earth. It's going to be amazing. Also, unlike any place on this earth, the weather on the new earth will always be perfect. God promises, and in the proper season, I will send the showers they need. There will be showers of blessing. And in Revelation, it says the sun will not be down on them, nor any scorching heat. Certainly, there will never be a drought or blizzard or tornado, hurricane, flood, earthquake, or tsunami ever again. These are all part of the curse on this earth that will be removed. Finally, there's one rather shocking difference about the new earth that will occur because God will be living there. God tells his people after its creation in Isaiah chapter 60, the sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. So evidently there will be a sky, or as Revelation describes, a new heaven, but the new creation will not include a sun or a moon for its light. This is repeated in Revelation where we read, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. It's going to be an amazing earth. We will live in a new and perfect creation forever. This is another way that your life on the new eternal earth will be all of the best things in this life perfected forever, none of the bad. The earth you live on is going to get an amazing upgrade that will make it perfect forever. Next, we can talk about we will live with new and perfect animals forever. This is another part of the upgrade on creation. Scripture teaches there will be animals on the new eternal earth, and they will also experience this amazing upgrade. We would expect this because God created animals on the old earth, and it is something he wants on the new earth. And do you remember what happened in the days of Noah? God saved 8 humans, but thousands of animals. Kind of showed his favorites there, didn't he? God loves animals, and it would seem they will be a part of our lives for eternity. We already noted just a moment ago that God says in Isaiah, their cattle and donkeys will graze freely. There's a much more famous verse in the Old Testament about animals on the new eternal earth. Isaiah chapter 65 repeats our primary text today from Revelation chapter 21. There we read, starting in verse 17, God says, look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth. Be glad, rejoice forever in my creation. Again, that's what it says in verses 17 through 18. What does it say in verse 25 about that new creation? The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow, but the snakes will eat dust. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed on my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. Several points can be made from this text. First, we can expect to see just about every kind of animal we have on this earth to be on the new eternal earth. So far, we have seen descriptions of cattle, donkeys, lambs, wolves, lions, and snakes on the new earth. Yes, even snakes. So there will probably be dogs, cats, horses, bears, birds, fish, and maybe even dinosaurs. Some of you are wondering, does that include insects? My answer is only good insects. No more biting mosquitoes or spiders. Now, if you ask me what is a good insect, I can only think of butterflies. But we can be assured that whatever insects there might be, they will be amazing and a source of joy. Second, these animals will be glorious. You think a lion, elephant, or bald eagle is glorious and amazing creature on this earth? Wait until you see the lions, elephants, and bald eagles on the new earth. I think they will be massive, powerful, and beautiful. Remember, everything on the new earth gets a massive upgrade, including the animals. In a moment, we'll discuss the upgrade our own bodies will receive. The Bible says we go from bodies that are not glorious to bodies that are glorious, and so will the animals. Third, all of these animals will be friendly. The wolf and the lamb will eat together. In the context of describing the animals, God says no one will be hurt by them anymore, not even the snakes. Because of the curse on this earth, most animals today are terrified of people. But on the new earth, God is going to reconcile everything, including the fear that currently exists between humans and animals. You've heard the saying that a dog is a man's best friend. Well, on the new earth, all kinds of animals will be your friend. You can have a friendship with a grizzly bear. And he will play in your front yard, and you can go out and wrestle with him anytime you want. And let me suggest that we may even be able to communicate with these new animals. Even now, we can communicate in some ways with dogs and dolphins and monkeys. But again, everything on the new earth gets a radical upgrade. Remember, I said that the scriptures describe the new earth as essentially a worldwide Garden of Eden. What was one of the animals in the old Garden of Eden? A talking serpent. That was probably indwelled by Satan, but it and Eve had a conversation, literally. Likewise, I think we can expect to have conversations with the new and uncorrupted animals on the new earth. God will want humans and animals to have a relationship, even a friendship, on the new earth. And perhaps even communication with them will be a part of that and be one of those things about the new creation that will be amazing and give us so much joy and pleasure in our eternal life on the new earth. Finally, it would seem that none of these animals are going to die. God is going to give them eternal life too. Remember that after the new creation, God says there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. These animals will not die, and they will not be killing each other. Therefore, I think it is fairly clear that we will not be eating meat on the new earth. So eat all the steak you can now, because you're not going to be eating it on the new earth. Next, we will live in perfect nations and cities forever. Revelation chapter 21 describes the city of New Jerusalem that will be on the eternal new earth. The Apostle John writes that an angel took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone. It was a square as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. And the main street was pure gold. Amazing city. It is a shame that many Christian teachers today interpret this merely as a symbol of something and not a literal physical city. They just miss all the meaning here. But as I have pointed out before, every single prophecy in the Bible that has already been fulfilled was fulfilled in a physical and usually literal way. There are no exceptions. The prediction of the New Jerusalem will be no exception. This is a literal city. John saw the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven. And again, as I said, heaven will be coming down to the new earth. And this city will be beautiful and shining with the glory of God himself. Likewise, I have said, everything on this earth will get an amazing upgrade on the new earth. You know, streets in our cities are made of asphalt and concrete. The main street in New Jerusalem will be pure gold. And God reveals the size of this city. It is 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and now that would take up about two-thirds of the landmass of America, like from about Washington, D.C. to Denver. But did you notice the city will also be 1,400 miles high? That's outer space. The International Space Station is only 250 miles above the Earth. This city is about six times higher than that. This one city will be bigger than we can even imagine. I will show you a verse from Jesus in a moment that tells us the new earth will have multiple cities. But I think the sheer size of this one capital city of the earth tells us something else. Not only will the cities be bigger, but the new earth itself will be much, much bigger than this old earth. For example, maybe at least as big as the sun, in which over 1 million earths can fit in. Did you know that? 1.3 million earths can fit inside of our sun. There are other reasons to believe the new earth will be huge. Not only will all of the billions of God's people from both the Old Covenant and church ages will be living there, but God himself will be living there. Don't you think where God's going to be living is going to be a pretty big place? Not this earth. The description of this one city continues. Revelation 21 says, "The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of a day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing impure will ever enter it." Yes, there's going to be nations and cities on this new earth. You know, New Delhi, India, is the second largest city in the world. I've been there several times. Its population of 34 million people almost equals the entire state of California. And again, I've been there several times, and it's a very busy, busy city all day and night long. For the past few years, what Delhi has been famous for is that people are getting sick from breathing the air and the pollution there. They can't hardly live there. A Delhi, like virtually every large city in the world, is a cesspool of filth and poverty and slums and sin. But the cities on the new earth are going to be completely different. And as this capital city, New Jerusalem, is described, nothing impure will ever enter it. Not only morally, but the cities of the new eternal earth will be spotless, beautiful, and peaceful. Not like New Delhi. The text we just read clearly says there will be nations with kings ruling them. Evidently, cities, plural, will be built, lived in, and governed over. This is why Jesus promised some of his servants, you will be governor over five cities. And others, he promised, you will be governor over 10 cities as your reward. The government of these nations and cities will be perfect. First of all, because Christ will be the ultimate king of everyone. Scripture says the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, there will be one Lord. His name alone will be worshipped. But all of those ruling under Christ will be like Christ as well. We read, look, a righteous king is coming, and honest princes will rule under him. The prophet Daniel explains the same. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people, that's us, of the Most High. His kingdom will last forever, and all rulers will serve and obey him. We will live in perfect nations and cities forever. This is one more way your life on the new eternal earth will be all of the best things of this earth perfected forever with none of the bad. The nations and cities of the earth are going to get an amazing upgrade that will make them perfect forever. Next, we will live in new and perfect land and homes forever. There will be nations and cities on the new earth, but I believe you will have your own land and home. When David was looking forward to the eternal new earth, he said to God, the land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. The original Hebrew here implies boundary lines for portions of land being marked out for people. An inheritance in the Old Testament, as well as ancient cultures, was almost synonymous with the land. And don't think your inheritance of land is going to be some meager little lot full of weeds and rocks. Remember, we'll be living on a huge and beautiful earth. The promise of an eternal allotment of physical land on the new earth is a repeated and important promise from God to his Old Testament saints. But there are also descriptions of individual homes. For example, God promised, I will bless my people and their homes around my holy hill. In Isaiah we read, my people will live in safety, quietly at home. Micah, everyone will live in peace and prosperity, enjoying their own grapevines and fig trees, for there will be nothing to fear. The Lord of heaven's armies has made this promise. If we are going to have our own grapevines and fig trees to enjoy, then it seems we'll have our own land and homes to enjoy. Not only will you have a home, but evidently you will have the joy of building your own home. We have already noted Isaiah 65, where God says, I am creating new heavens and a new earth. Be glad, rejoice forever, my creation. Again, that's verses 17 through 18. A little later in verse 21, we read as part of the new earth that will make us glad, quote, in those days people will live in the houses they build and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. It would seem in some sense we will all be pioneers and homesteaders in a new and beautiful land. And the land you inherit on the new earth will be yours forever. Next, we will have new, perfect, and sinless bodies and minds forever. Do you experience pain in your current body? Are there things you do? Are there things you do not like about your body? God wants you to know that he's going to give you a new and perfect body. This is another example of your life on the new earth being a mixture of things on this earth, but all of it new, perfect, and eternal. Likewise, you will live in a physical body like you do now and not just float around in some invisible spirit, but your body will be new, perfect, eternal, beautiful, powerful, and glorious. First, you will have a body. A physical body. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Fortunately, you know something about what your new body will be like based on Christ's body after his resurrection. When he appeared, the people who knew him recognized him. Evidently, he looked something like he did when he lived on this earth. And he was not merely a spirit, but had flesh and bones that could be seen and touched. The resurrected Jesus Christ even ate a piece of fish to prove he had a physical body. But Jesus' body was different too, wasn't it? So different that his close friend Mary did not immediately recognize him until he said her name. Also, we read when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. How did that happen? How did Jesus get into the room if the doors were locked? Apparently, in your new body, you'll be able to walk through walls and appear anywhere at any time, just like Jesus did. Your new body will be beautiful. When Jesus was fully revealed at his transfiguration, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Elsewhere, the Bible says that God's people will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. How wonderful and beautiful they will be. Your body will shine with the glory of God. The Apostle Paul described your new body as imperishable, possessing glory and power in contrast to the dishonorable and weak aspects of your current body. Accordingly, it's unlikely that you will need to sleep or go to the bathroom in your new body. That'll be a good thing. But you know, even more glorious than the new body you will have is that you will also be recreated with a new mind. Remember, our life on the new earth will be sinless, including our minds. Nothing sinful in this life, including what we experience with our minds, will be able to corrupt our sinful and happy life on the new earth. You will not be able to think sinful thoughts ever again. God is going to give us new minds that are very powerful and perfectly holy. We will have new, perfect, and sinless bodies and minds forever. This is one more way. Your life on the new eternal earth will be all of the best things in this life perfected forever with none of the bad. Next, we can discuss the promise that we will enjoy new and perfect relationships. What is one of the first things that's going to happen when the kingdom of God on the new earth begins? Jesus tells us in Matthew 8. Jesus said, I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. That is probably the wedding feast of the Lamb, mentioned in Revelation 19. So one of the first things that happens on the new earth is a huge party. Old Testament saints will be meeting New Testament saints. It might last for many days, and what fun it will be. This illustrates the importance that God places on community. We will not be on the new earth to only live with and serve God, but also to live with and serve each other. Perhaps one of the clearest pictures of heaven on earth in Scripture is the description of the early church. In Acts, we read, all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Do you think that kind of thing is going to end on the new earth? No. Fellowship and serving God together will be a huge part of our eternal lives. However, one big difference about life on the new earth is that there will not be marriages. Aw. Jesus said in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven, Matthew 22. Like the angels, we will have no need to procreate, nor to have sexual relations, nor perhaps to even have different genders. One reason for no marriage on the new earth is that we will, in some sense, be married to Christ. But the fact that there will not be any marriages does not mean there will not be love. Remember, your life on the new eternal earth will be all of the best things in this life perfected forever with none of the bad. We can be certain that in some way there will be something even better than marriages on the new earth. Nothing is going to be something less than what we experience on this earth. And we will certainly know our Christian spouses, children, friends in the new world. Your relationships with them will be among those things recorded in that book that will be open to discuss when you meet him. In Revelation chapter 20, where that's described. Next and finally, we will enjoy new and perfect work. The scientist and science fiction author Isaac Asimov said, quote, I don't believe in the afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven even more. For whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse. There's a lot of people that think that way about heaven, and I hope this message has completely blown that out of the water. Unfortunately, this unbiblical idea is rather common in Christianity. The medieval theologian Thomas Aquinas believed, quote, heaven is a place of motionless absorption in an intellectual contemplation of God. Sounds spiritual, but it doesn't sound fun, and it's not biblical. Fortunately, none of these things are true. There will be a lot of wonderful work and serving to do on the new eternal earth. In Revelation, we read, "No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him." Elsewhere, God says, "Then I will purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder." We're going to be serving God together. Elsewhere, God says of his people on the new earth, "They will plant vineyards and gardens. They will eat their crops and drink their wine." Likewise, listen to this verse in Jeremiah, though, describing what life will be like on the new eternal earth. Townspeople and farmers and shepherds alike will live together in peace and happiness. Amazing. Likewise, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven will be like a master telling his servants, "I will put you in charge of many things." Do you see this? Part of our reward and life on the new earth will be new responsibilities. Jesus was even more specific when he promised faithful servants they will take charge of 5 or 10 cities. Listen, our reward in the new eternal earth will not be retirement, but responsibility. We'll be busy because God is busy. Jesus said regarding how hard he worked while on the earth, "My Father's always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." That's what God is like. The God we will live with is a visionary who is always planning and accomplishing things. He is never bored, and neither will we be bored, nor will we ever be tired. Remember, we will have our new bodies that will never age or probably even need sleep. Work is a godly thing and was a blessing before the curse of the fall. We read in Genesis 2 that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. This was before sin entered the world. And so we too will be taking care of the Garden of Eden that will be filling the entire earth. The curse of sin made work on this earth difficult, unproductive, and frustrating. But on the new earth, that curse will be removed. And so I can share one more wonderful promise from God to you about your life on the new earth. Isaiah 65, "The work they do will be successful." I'm not sure what that work is going to be, but it's going to be successful because God's going to bless us. We will enjoy new and perfect work on the new eternal earth. Remember, everything, including our work, will experience a radical upgrade. God promised us, Christian, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." Your life on the new eternal earth will be all of the best things in this life perfected forever, with none of the bad. Amen? Take a moment with the person next to you to discuss what was most meaningful about today's message, and we'll end in a moment in a prayer.